Ephesians chapter 5. And we continue with our series, basic Bible doctrines series we've been in and on the home currently. And we've been considering the roles and responsibilities of a husband and father over the last few weeks. And today we begin to turn our attention to the wife's responsibility, and we'll talk about parents and children as well in the weeks to come. Our text, though, is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Gone are the days, it seems, at least in our culture, of having a respectful reverence and understanding of the value of the family unit or the home. American culture has been blessed of God in part because of having an understanding of the value of a home. There are two divine institutions, the home and the church. A home was established by God. It's important to God. It's sacred to God. But over the years in our culture, and it seems like it is gone, that respectful reverence and understanding of the value of a family unit is not there anymore. Modern society has devalued the traditional, if you want to call it, but I would rather call it biblical. Modern society has devalued the biblical home life long ago. And the family, as a basic unit in society, has all but been destroyed. It's been redefined these days. What is a family? You know, what is a home? It's been redefined in our modern culture to include, to embrace, even to justify the perverted ideas and lifestyles of this world. This is why, you know, it's normal nowadays to have two mommies and have two daddies. That's something that is normalized in society, normalized in public schools, to train and indoctrinate the youth of America into the perverted lifestyles of this world. And so redefining, you know, what is a family? What is a home? Redefining it has been the answer. You can't have a man and a woman anymore. There are no genders. And that's been going back for years and years and years to try to make gender neutral our society. It started even back in the 60s or before that even. We'll talk maybe about some of those things another day. But culture and society has been trying to remove that gender distinction in clothing, in culture, in roles, in all of those things. For this very purpose, this very reason, to attack and destroy the family unit in the home. That's the devil's plan. Has been from the beginning. Even secular sources, though, still understand that the basic family unit is the very fabric of a society. And it's been pressured, it's been attacked, and it's been radically changed due to a number of factors in a changing society. Even secular sources understand that. And they attribute the changes to several different things. They attribute these changes to the family structure and unit, to the industrialization or urbanization of America. The move of people from the farm, you know, of yesteryear to the growing, ever-growing cities has brought about a whole new environment, and there is some truth to that. You know, back in the day, when people worked a farm, and you know, a couple had a multitude of kids, it was they could raise those children to be mature, responsible, and taking initiative. You know, adults and contributors to society. They could do that, because the boys worked with dad and the girls worked with mom. They had chores to do every day, and boys worked hand in hand with dad, learning how to be a man and to work with his hands and to do a hard day's work to provide. And the little girls worked with mom to take care of the home and the farm and to help with the family needs and learned how to be ladies and so on. And they could raise children that were and produce children that were productive and even godly in the society. Not anymore. At least it seems. Very difficult. That's why even culture in America was different. Even if people didn't know God, there was still a function to society and an order and a decency. That industrialization or urbanization, even secular sources say, has contributed to the decline of the family unit. The so-called sexual revolution brought about sweeping changes in values and in role concepts. And today's women are encouraged by feminist groups and demonstrations to throw off the shackles of previous concepts of a woman's place in society and womanhood. And she's encouraged to break free from the tyranny of her husband and to liberate herself and take her rightful place, you know, as equal with men in society. Well, men and women are equal in God's eyes. But the whole idea and the whole thought process and the whole philosophy behind it is wrong. The way that they go about it. You know, it's a man's world and we're going to overtake it. Kind of a mentality is what these feminist groups purport. Some say the economy has contributed to the decline of the family unit. Secularists say that the pressure of increasing costs and inflation and climbing interest rates all have been felt mostly by women. And because of those factors, the place of women within the family has changed drastically. Now, it's accepted and it's the normal thing for a woman to work outside of the home and for the parents to farm their children out, you know, to the daycare, and all in order to improve the family budget or to improve the standard of living. What's funny most of the time is that most women will work just to pay for daycare. All the money that they make in a month goes to pay for the daycare, and they barely break even that way. And it's not necessarily improving the standard of living. It's probably more like greed that drives that, or covetousness that drives it. But see, these are secular sources who are saying these things. There's an article written by Professor Elizabeth Duvon of the University of Michigan. She comments on the home, and she wrote this article entitled Families in Transition. And this is what she said, commenting on the home. There is no doubt that the family is stressed. Changes in our society have increased pressures on families and have created forces that can pull families apart. The acceleration of divorce rates, increased incidences of runaway wives and children, and simply the fact that neighborhoods are depopulated during the day as mothers and fathers go off to jobs. All these are taken as signs that the family is less valued and claims less time, energy, and loyalty from people than it once did. Everyone agrees that the family shows signs of strain. These are secular sources who are saying these things. And the truth is, and the reality is, there is a breakdown of the family unit, and it is affecting society. But the real reason is because of not necessarily the economy or necessarily the sexual revolution or the urbanization of America. Maybe those things contribute, but the real reason is because of a departure from the biblical pattern and biblical roles of men and women in this world and in the home. The results of that are devastation to the family unit. And destruction, ultimately, of a society, because each generation gets worse and worse than the generation before because of no structure and no training and no understanding. Modern society and modern thinking has even affected the thinking of Christians when it comes to their God-given roles. And we've looked at a husband's responsibility, and now we turn our attention to a wife's responsibility and her God-given role in a family. And so the question that needs to be raised and needs to be asked is this: just exactly what does God expect of a Christian wife, a Christian woman? What is required of a wife and a mother in God's plan for the family? How can a wife truly contribute to making a house a joyful, fulfilling home? These are very good questions, and the answers to those questions cannot be ignored if we want to find the blessing of God and success in our homes and our families. A woman or a wife who prays for God's guidance and she studies the Scriptures with an open heart and an open mind, and then she sets about being obedient to what she finds in the Word of God concerning her God-given role, she will find that the answers to those questions are both satisfying and fulfilling for her as a woman. And the reason is because she will fall in line with God's intended purpose for her, how He created her, how He built her, how He made her. And when she falls in line with God's given role, that is the place that she finds great fulfillment and contentment and happiness. That's the same with all of us. But I want to look closely at this relationship of a wife to her husband and to her family. And we won't get through all of this today. But the Bible itself indicates what that relationship ought to be. And as we begin to discuss this important matter, it's my prayer for you that you'll see that the biblical role of womanhood and the biblical role of a wife is neither harsh nor demeaning, but it's one that opens up the door to a happy, fulfilling, joyful, peaceful life. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd bless in our studies over the next few weeks, and Father, that You'd continue to mold and to shape each of us into the image of Christ, and Father, that You'd build and grow strong family units, beginning with a father, with a husband who leads and takes his responsibility and who loves as Christ loves His church and who gives Himself for His wife and for His children. And in response to that, a wife who submits and who honors and who reverences and who her husband and guides her household and is a godly example. Father, would You build and strengthen these families for the glory of God, but in doing so, they'll find peace and joy and happiness and security in their homes. And the next generation, these children coming up in their families, would see and understand what is a godly woman? What is a godly wife supposed to be? What is a godly man supposed to be? How is he supposed to love his wife and his children? And set that tone and that example in their families for generations to come. And Father, we pray that You'd teach us from Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read our text here again. And we're going to talk about, first of all, in this section, in this series, the biblical principle of submission. What is a wife's responsibility? What is her role? What does God expect and require of a woman and a wife in a godly home? What is God's plan? And we first of all find in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." It'll take us a little while to get through maybe all of these principles in these verses, but we start first of all with the biblical principle of submission. Here we find in these verses that God's intentions for the woman in the husband-wife relationship is for her to submit to her husband in his exercise of leadership in the home. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now, this word, submit, is a dirty word in our culture. And there are many, if they were listening right now, who would be just standing up and throwing darts right now, you know, to just even talk about this subject. And they're influenced by modern culture and influenced by modern thinking in their own understanding, their own thinking. It's a dirty word in modern culture. It's a dirty word in most homes and families, I think. Maybe not here. Of course, not here. I'm not saying that here. But that thinking, I mean, that mentality has permeated Christianity, because there are modern versions of the Bible, paraphrased versions, that have completely changed this wording and made it say something else in an attempt to make it more palatable, see, to people. And I read in one or two of the modern versions, instead of verse 22 saying, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, it reads that, wives, you must learn to adapt yourselves to your own husbands. And I just laughed, and I said, what a sad, pathetic attempt to make this truth of God more palatable, to try to change the truth of God, but in doing so, they make it a lie. Colossians chapter 3, Paul clearly issues this very same instruction as a command of God. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 18 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Here it says, wives, submit yourselves. This is given in the present imperative. And what does that mean? Well, it means that this is an attitude of a wife that is to be her lifestyle. It's a constant thing. It's not a one-time thing, but a constant lifestyle. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. And then he says, as it is fit in the Lord. That word fit means to be proper. So wives, constantly, present imperative, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is proper in the Lord. It's a command of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Here, again, we find this issue of submission. It's the word subjection and the words submit of the other two passages, Colossians 3:18, Ephesians 5:22. It's the Greek word hupotasso. And it means subordinate. It means be under obedience. And if we read the scriptures and understand its meaning, there can be no doubt as to the meaning of these verses. It's not, wives, you need to learn how to adjust yourselves and so on and to your own husbands. No, the command is clear. Subordinate, be in obedience, be under obedience. Wives, submit yourselves. No one could doubt the meaning of these verses unless they're taken out of context, unless they're twisted. Now, Ephesians 5:22, taken out of context, has actually caused many husbands to repress their wives and many wives to be resentful and rebellious against their husbands. You know, woman, submit. This is what God's plan for you is. Right? And what is your reaction to some men, who's somebody who treats you that way? What is your natural reaction? Yeah, I don't think so, buddy. Right? Yeah, you put up the fist, we're going to go. Well, is it a surprise that that would be the natural, normal reaction of a woman then either? No, we're all sinful human beings. And so taken out of context, that verse, those verses standing alone by themselves might seem a bit arbitrary and unfair. How come the husband, how come the man is the ruler, and how come I have to submit? You understand what I mean? So standing alone and taken out of context, that might seem unfair, but the fact is that this verse, back in our text, it doesn't stand alone. In fact, no verse in Scripture stands alone by itself. And we need to consider its context for understanding its meaning. And this, go back to our text in Ephesians 5. Whenever there's preaching on husbands and wives and this wives submitting and so on, there's a whole lot of rah-rah, amen, rah-rah from the men. But we fail to consider the verse before that command. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's not an alleviation of responsibility of submission for the men. The Bible says that we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. The context of Ephesians 5:22 includes not only the Holy Spirit's instruction for mutual submission, but also this entire context teaches the need for being filled with the Spirit of God. You see verse 18? And be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Listen, it's the power of the Spirit of God that enables a wife to submit to her husband and a husband to be able to love his wife as Christ loves his church. It's the Holy Spirit and his power that makes the machinery of marriage work in harmony. The secret, here's the secret. Here is the secret for a happy home, guys and ladies. The secret to a happy home is having two Spirit-filled believers living together. If a husband is filled with the Spirit of God, he's going to treat his wife as he should. He's going to love her and give himself like Christ loves the church. If a wife is submitted to the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God, she's not going to have any trouble submitting herself to her husband's leadership. You ever wonder about, you know, the spats and the rifts and the whatever that goes on in a home, a husband and wife, and they're just beating it out. They're arguing. They got disagreements. They got this. It's a fight. Guaranteed, one or both are not filled with the Spirit of God. I know. I've been there. But only once or twice. That's all. See, the spiritual dynamic that operates in a Spirit-filled life and even a Spirit-filled wife is that, listen, when she is submitting to the Lord, ladies, when you are submitting to the Lord, you're not going to have any difficulty submitting to your husband. This verse here doesn't say that a wife is inferior to her husband in any way. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. But it doesn't say that she's inferior in any way, nor does it say that she's to be his slave. Because we read in the verse before that, we're all to submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. See, when both spouses are filled with the Spirit of God, when they're both voluntarily submitting to the Lord, the result is oneness. The result is harmony and unity in that marriage relationship. And listen, this is just as an aside here, this is one of the main reasons why the Bible forbids a Christian to marry a non-believer. Because a non-believer is not in submission to the Lord. And it can't possibly work. The unity of a church and the harmony of a home both depends on the Spirit of God. It's power from within and not pressure from without that holds a home together. A husband can be, wife, you need to submit. Woman, you need to listen to me. That's pressure from without. That's not what holds a home together. It's power from within, from the Spirit of God. And so I want to talk about this biblical principle of submission. First of all, number one, the meaning of submission. We know here that the Bible commands a wife to submit to her husband. What does that actually mean? Well, the definition of biblical submission is this. It's an attitude and an action of willingly and wholeheartedly respecting, yielding to, and obeying the authority of another. It's an attitude and an action of willingly and wholeheartedly respecting, yielding to, and obeying the authority of another. Like I said before, the word submit here is the Greek word hupotasso, and it comes from two different Greek words. The Greek word hupo, which means under, and tasso, which means to set in place. So in other words, the word means to set something in place under something else. And in the context here, it's obviously talking about wives submitting to the authority of their husband, being placed or set up under the authority of their husband. So Paul is saying to wives here, be willing to place yourself in a position under your husband who is the authority in your life. Be in that position of being submissive on a constant lifestyle basis. So I want to look at what this Greek word hupotasso doesn't mean. And then in doing so, that's going to help us to see what it does mean. All right? Because sometimes it's misunderstood what this word submit means. The word does not mean, first of all, that she is commanded to obey her husband, say as a child would obey his parents, or a slave would obey their master. That's not what this word submit means. A lot of men treat their wives as if they were doormats. And a lot of men walk all over their wives like she's a slave, or as if she has no sense of her own or no abilities of her own, as if she's inferior to him. And this is so wrong and so unbiblical and so unchristlike. That's not what the word submit means at all. As a matter of fact, there's a different word that is used in connection with that kind of a relationship, like a child obeying their parents. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word, obey, there is a completely different Greek word. It's the word hupakuo, and it means something completely different. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word hupakuo means, or it implies, an inferior to a superior. And so God says, children, you need to obey your parents, the inferior to the superior, like a commanding officer to a private. You need to obey the law. You need to obey the rule as a superior. You don't have an option. And really, the reality of it is, when a parent speaks to their child, they need to obey, and they need to obey now. And it really doesn't matter whether or not I give an explanation. A child has a responsibility to obey. It's only by the grace of God that a parent would ever give an explanation as to why they tell you to do what to do. That's what that word hupakuo means. Look at verse 5 of chapter 6. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. That word obedient is also the same hupakuo. And it's regards to servants to their masters. It's referring to an inferior to a superior. But that word is never used in a husband-wife relationship. It's hupotasso. And the word indicates two things of equal value, but one choosing to place themselves under the authority of another for the purpose of function, for the purpose of unity and harmony. You see this? This is what biblical submission really is. It's not about one being superior and another being inferior. But all too often, that's exactly how many men take that. As if, I'm the leader, I'm the ruler, I'm the superior one. But in God's eyes, it's not true. We are of equal value in God's eyes. And there's not one level of inferiority about a wife. But the wife makes a choice to place herself as an equal underneath the authority of another equal, her husband. in order that there can be function in that family. And the whole purpose of it is to meet the design that God has established and God has ordered for a home. So what's the meaning of the word hupotasso, or submit? Does it mean that a wife is a slave who has to obey every command? No, it does not. Does it mean that she is to be treated like a child, like a parent would treat their children? No, it doesn't mean that. And if there is a man who thinks that for one second he has any superiority over his wife, he'll find out rather quickly how wrong he is. And he's gravely mistaken, according to God's word. However, by God's design, in order to have a functioning family and one that is pleasing unto the Lord, there has to be concessions that are made. And there has to be a leader. And God says that a wife is to choose to put herself underneath the headship of her husband in order that God's design will play out as it ought to be. And we could read later on, we will, over in Titus chapter 3, that the word of God is not blasphemed, that God's will is accomplished and God's name is exalted. And so the meaning of this word has nothing to do with inferior to superior. Listen, submitting to your husband, wives, takes nothing from the dignity of you as a woman. In fact, it rather enhances it, because it takes a whole lot of integrity for a person to do what God has commanded them to do, especially when it's not easy to do. The meaning of the word. Secondly, I want you to consider the mindset of submission. We saw the meaning of submission, but consider the mindset of submission. Back in Ephesians 5 and verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What is the mindset of submission supposed to be? Well, the command is to submit to husbands. It says nothing about a person's ability here. There are many families in which a wife has a whole lot more talent than her husband. She has a whole lot more gifts than he does. Maybe a wife is full of personality. Maybe she's full of character. Maybe she's full of all kinds of ability. She certainly looks a lot better. But this command has nothing to do with a person's ability. This submission, rather, is not about your husband. It's not about whether or not you are more qualified or gifted than your husband. This submission is not about him at all. It's actually about you and the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. The verb here that is used is present tense. It's middle voice, meaning that it's not something that you do one time so that you can get something, but rather the present tense means that it's constant. It's every day being under submission to a husband at all times. But even more than that is the middle voice in which it's given. The middle voice means that you yourself make a choice. You make your own choice. Whether it's easy or not, whether he's a jerk or not, you make the choice to submit as unto the Lord, because it's not really about him. To have a properly functioning family, a wife needs to make the choice, make up her mind, that she's going to be obedient to God and live in a state of submissiveness to her husband no matter what he's like. Well, Pastor, you just don't know my husband. He's a jerk. Well, I already knew that, but because he's a man, right? But that has nothing to do with anything. God doesn't say you only obey when it's convenient. Just like God doesn't say, well, you only love your wife when she's lovable. That has nothing to do with anything. The mindset of submission for a woman is because it's in obedience to the Lord. What about the motive for submission? It's a good question. What is the motive for a woman to submit? What in the world would make a woman want to place herself under the headship of her husband, especially if she's more gifted? Maybe she's more educated. Maybe she knows a little bit more about certain things than her husband does in certain areas. What would make her put herself under submission to him? Because that's the fact. Sometimes there are situations where a wife knows a whole lot more about things, particular areas, than a husband does. Does she take on, ladies, do you take on, well, I know a lot more about this than you do. You should really listen to what I'm saying. And maybe that is true to an extent, but that does not alleviate the command and the responsibility of submission to his leadership, to his headship. We'll talk about some more practical sides of things in this area of submission at another time. How does it really play out in the day-to-day of a home? But before we get to that, we need to understand what it actually means. And what is the mindset? What is the motive for submission? What should the motive be for a woman to place herself in submission to her husband? Well, the Bible says here in verse 22 that the thing that ought to motivate a wife to submission is because of the Spirit of God controlling her life, and because of her desire to be obedient to the Lord, because of love for God. It's love for the Lord that ought to motivate her. In order for the Lord to make your family a functioning family, we need to be willing to obey what He says. It's not because maybe we love, or you would love your husband so much, and hopefully you do, but it's because of your love for Jesus Christ Himself that would motivate you to put you to be in that place. That's the key. As I love the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm able to love my wife like He has commanded. As you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are able to submit yourself as the Lord has commanded. Because when we submit ourselves to the Lord and love for the Lord, we're willing to do whatever He tells us to do. Amen. A wife's love for Christ is what should motivate her to obey. Submission. Understand this right here. This is sort of the key, kind of the crux of it all. Submission to your husband is to be a reflection and outworking of your submission to Christ. If there is tension and fighting and a rebellious spirit in the heart and a rebellion against the husband's authority, that is also a reflection of her heart towards her submission to Christ. And Jesus Christ Himself is the model that we are to follow. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the admonition and the instruction is, let this mind be in you as well, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, only when a wife is submitting to the Lord Jesus and to her husband, it's only then that the family can have any hope of being functional, because God's design is always the best design. So the meaning of submission, I'll wrap it up here. And like I said, we'll get into some more of these particulars of the day-to-day life, how this applies, how this principle applies in daily living. But the meaning of submission is not an inferior to a superior. It's of two who are equal in the sight of God, but one chooses for the sake of the design of God to do what God says to do. And so even though we're equal in God's eyes, however, there's still a pecking order of authority. That's the way it works in life. God works through authority. a wife is going to have to make up her mind. It's going to have to be her lifestyle. The motivation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the submission that you give to your husband, you need to do because of your love for Christ. And Jesus Christ is that model that we follow. So the question is, as we continue in on this study, the only reason that the word submit is a dirty word is if we are not falling in line with God's intended purpose for our life, if we are not in submission to the Lord ourselves. And so the question as we continue on and as we go forward in this study is, where is your mind? Where is your heart? What is the heart attitude that you have? Because what we'd all say, we all know what the Bible principle is. Oh, wives are to submit to their husbands. But why? And what's the motive? And what does that actually acquire and mean of me, you, as a wife? The responsibility of the wife is to submit to her husband in order for the home to have order and for it to function according to God's plan. We'll talk about the specifics. Sometimes there are times when a wife is right and the husband is wrong. And he's going to be insistent, even though he's wrong. And then the wife has an opportunity to make a choice to be equally insistent or to submit. That's a choice. Understand what I mean? And so we'll talk about some of those things and how it plays out. And the challenge is to let the Lord and the Word of God begin to shape us and mold us and even correct our thinking at times, so that we can be what God wants us to be. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we introduce this subject, Lord, I pray that you'd already begin to work in the heart to, Lord, to soften or to solidify maybe those convictions that some already have. And Father, maybe there's a work that needs to be done in others to come more in line with God's word. And Father, the result will be a joyful, happy home. And Father, things working and functioning according to God's plan. And Lord, I pray that you'd continually work in us to grow us into the image of Christ. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.